This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
So, and I think that's a testament to what I was saying before, which is that, you know, if it's purely a neurotransmitter issue, and neurotransmitters are really those feel-good molecules that the brain uses, you know, to help kind of control and balance our mood. When it's purely a neurotransmitter, I think the antidepressants have a chance. But I think the problem is, and the reason why it only works in about 25 to 30% of cases, which is the same as placebo, is because depression, there are many, many other factors than just simply a neurotransmitter issue.
So really, I would guess that we should distrust anyone, whether they're talking about pharmaceuticals or even talking about supplements, that are saying you can take this one thing and it's going to make your depression go away.
Right, absolutely. You know, there's an old joke that I heard once, and it talks about this fellow who just came out of a bar quite drunk, and he's going to a dark parking lot and looking for his keys because he realized he dropped his keys in the parking lot. And the only part of the parking lot that's lit is this one corner that has a light, and that's where he's looking. So this police officer comes up to him and says, "Hey, man, why are you just looking here when there's this whole parking lot? You may have dropped your keys." And the guy turns to him and says, "Well, because the light is better here." You know,
right.
And that's really kind of what's going on, I think, within the psychiatry world and how we're treating, even with supplements. We're thinking about only neurotransmitters, and there's so many other things going on.
Well, it's interesting also the idea of the broken brain, that if you're depressed, that you have a chemical imbalance. That hasn't been borne out in science so well either. There are people who are depressed who have normal or high levels of serotonin, and there's people who are happy who have low levels of serotonin.
Right, and it's also, it tells us that, you know, the same drugs we use to treat anxiety, we use to treat depression. It just tells us that there's so much more we need to learn. And certainly neurotransmitters play a role, but I don't think it's everything in terms of learning how to really work with these conditions.
Well, one of the things that I really appreciate about the book, How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, is that you don't, on the one hand, you don't fall into this trap of simplifying it to one or two things and promising some miraculous cure. You go for the comprehensive patient approach. But on the other hand, you also recognize that when people are depressed, they need things to be simple and directive at the beginning and need to be boiled down to some small steps that can become larger later. So let's talk about, because depressed people are often have difficulty completing tasks, how you structured the book for your audience.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Well, like you said so eloquently, the issue with depression and when you're depressed is that you really just don't want to go out and do anything. And one of the criticisms I would say for many, you know, really wonderful books of great information out there about depression is that it's usually a little bit too much for the person who's actually depressed. So what I tried to do when I structured the book is I have a section that starts at the very, very beginning of the book that's really quick steps of what people, in my opinion, need to start doing if they just want to start feeling better a little bit faster. There's some blood tests to run that I think are quite helpful. There's some foods that I think are very, very useful. And there's some very simple vitamins that are quite safe to take that I think people can get started with. And what I've learned with my own patients is that even if I don't know exactly what's going on and how we're really going to get to the underlying causes, what I found is that there are a few steps that can just get people maybe 10, 20% better, you know, just enough to get a little more functional so that this way we can work on the other things, the things that maybe take longer and that are going to take a little more work.
Well, your first step, Dr. Bongiorno, is determining whether you should be on pharmaceutical medication. So what are some of the considerations, if we had listeners today listening who are depressed and unmedicated, whether they should be on a pharmaceutical medication?
Right, and that's a great question, because like I said, I'm not blanketly opposed to pharmaceutical medications. They certainly can save a life when they're used appropriately. You know, and what I try to outline in the book quite simply is sort of a sensible approach. You know, if people aren't able to take care of themselves, if they're not getting out of bed, if they're really thinking about harming themselves or harming somebody else, then I absolutely recommend working with a psychiatrist first and really assessing the need for medication and possibly picking something that just can help somebody get out of a jam.
And
another case is if, let's say, for an example, you have a single mom who's taking care of two or three kids and she's just not taking care of the children. They're starting to get neglected because she's not getting out of bed. She can't go to work and support them. You know, cases like that, I think it's probable that if they're not doing well enough to do those basic tasks, they're probably not going to be able to do the things that I would recommend in the book for really getting to the underlying cause. So in those cases, it may be easier, honestly, to start with a pill, get feeling a little bit better, kind of center oneself, and then you can start working on more of the other, what I would consider more advanced things that can help with the underlying factors.
Well, I definitely want to move forward and talk about some of the interventions you suggest in the book, but we're going to ask you to hold on, Dr. Bongiorno, for a couple minutes, and we're going to invite Ani and Liz into the studio to talk about how people can get a copy of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, the complete natural program for healing depression for good.
Thanks, David. My name is Liz. I'm here with Ani. Say good morning, Ani.
Good morning.
Ani. And we're here to ask you to support Health Watch and the other great public affairs programming that you hear on KBOO by becoming a member. And the way you do that is you go to your phone or you go to your computer or you go to your smartphone, which is a computer, and dial 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number, 877-500-KBOO, or go online to our website at kboo.fm and become a member right now, just like John in Portland, who renewed his membership, Nancy in Portland, who is a new member, Dwayne in Portland, who renewed his membership, and Aldana in Portland, who renewed her membership. Thank you to all of them who became or renewed their memberships in the last hour. We'd like to thank you, and the way to do that is for you to get in touch with us and show your support for this programming, 877-500-5266.
So right now you are listening to Dave Naiman's interview with Peter Bongiorno. He's just released the book, How Come They're Happy and I'm Not. And a copy of this book can be yours for your $60 contribution to KBOO Community Radio. It can be done very simply when you dial 877-500-5266. You can talk to one of our phone answering folk about setting up an electronic funds transfer for just $5 a month from your checking account to your community radio station. Automatically, it happens throughout the year. You don't have to think about it after you make this call. Your support keeps coming in to your community, and we would so appreciate that. And I got to say, the rest of your community would appreciate you taking that action too. Just step up. It's your moment to become a participating member of your community radio station. It's your moment to become a radio activist.
It's your moment to become a stakeholder in this community resource that we know you value so much.
877-500-5266. That's the number to dial. And again, just give us a couple minutes of your time and let us know how much you would like to contribute to this effort with a little of your hard-earned cash so that we can reach that eventual goal of $99,000 for KBOO Community Radio this spring. We do it one show at a time. We do it one call at a time. Do your part right now. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. Online, you can donate at kboo.fm. Click that donation cash jar over there in the upper right corner, or call us, 877-500-5266.
We're back with Dr. Peter Bongiorno. Dr. Bongiorno, one of the steps you mentioned was having your patients do certain tests. What are some of the things that they may not be thinking about that could be leading to their depression that they could rule out with some tests?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And that's, you know, this is getting into some of the underlying factors. For instance, a lot of doctors don't realize there's a strong association between somebody's iron levels and depression. In fact, you know, it's interesting. When I was a clinician, a young student clinician in naturopathic medical school, one of the first patients I remember seeing was this woman who had a very low mood, And she also came in because she had a lot of menstrual issues. And she was on Prozac or Zoloft, one of those, you know, typical antidepressant medications. And they ran some blood tests, and they noticed her ferritin, which is iron storage, was very low. And so they noticed that, and they said, you know, your iron is very low, and we should probably get you some iron. And within 3 weeks, her iron level storage came up. And she came in one day and said, you know, I don't think I need this medication anymore. I talked to my doctor, and we're gonna stop it. And that was it. She didn't need it. And it turned out to be really an iron issue. And that makes sense, because when there isn't enough iron, the body can't carry enough oxygen, and that's going to affect your mood. So similarly, there's a lot of other vitamins like that. There's vitamin D, there's vitamin B12, there's hormonal tests, checking in on your thyroid is very important. Especially for men, checking in on things like testosterone can be very important. There's an energy molecule called carnitine, which carries energy, that can be important and help create better mood when it's at the right levels. And really a number of other things that might be more specific to the person. But what I find is there's no one test that's important to check, but there's a lot of little tests that can be part of a bigger picture.
Well, it's interesting. So it really calls on the patient to pause when they go to their doctor, if their doctor is just suggesting a drug right off the bat, that maybe they need to step back and do a little bit of sleuthing and see if there's some other potential causes where the treatments would be more effective than a blanket approach.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of new research coming out that's showing that when you give certain nutrients to patients who are on medications that aren't working, and you get the nutrient levels up, the medications start to work better.
So what would be some examples? So if we have some patients today who are taking Prozac or Lexapro or Celexa, what are some things that they could take along with it that would actually enhance the medication's effect?
Right. Well, there's a fellow named Fava who did a lot of studies about certain forms of folic acid, which can be very helpful in higher dose for patients who aren't doing so well with their medication. So that's one. Vitamin B12 has been shown to be helpful. Making sure thyroid levels are at the right levels have also been shown to be very useful. And also for men, especially, making sure testosterone is at the right levels. All of those things have been shown to also help the medications work better. And I suspect that there's going to be a lot more coming. We just haven't done the research on them yet.
And so the ones that you mentioned, people have actually looked at them in studies along with the pharmaceutical medication?
Yes.
That's very interesting.
Found that they work better, that the medications that weren't working actually started working. So it tells us that, yes, it's a neurotransmitter issue, but it's probably we also need those cofactors and things that help, you know, make those neurotransmitters too.
So one of the most controversial and debated issues on the program here, Health Watch, is diet. We have people who come on and promote a vegetarian or vegan diet or low-fat diet, and other people who come on who promote more the paleo perspective, low-carb. So how do you go about ferreting out the conflicting nutritional science and coming up with a plan that is beneficial for people suffering from mood issues?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And, you know, the truth is, and what I've learned with my patients, is that there's no one plan that works great for everybody. I think everyone is a little bit different, and each individual person really does need to figure out, you know, which foods are going to be the most helpful for them. Usually I start out with what people are eating, and, you know, the basics really apply, you know, getting rid of the foods that are highly processed, that are very sugary. You know, blood sugar has a lot to do with mood as well. So making sure someone's mood is balanced is very, very important. There's some wonderful studies out of Spain that the Spanish government funded, which looks in detailed way about the Mediterranean diet. And the Mediterranean diet has been shown to be very powerful in helping protect the brain, helping support good mood, and helping to even prevent anxiety and depression as well.
And when you speak about the Mediterranean diet, what is that exactly? Because I would imagine there are lots of different diets around the Mediterranean.
Right. Well, the Mediterranean diet, you're right, and it probably means different things to different people. In general, the Mediterranean diet is a diet that is not too much in terms of meat. You know, and usually the meats that are there are high quality, but not a whole lot of meat. There's a high ratio of monounsaturated fatty acids, so the healthy fats that you find in plants and fish, a very moderate alcohol, high intake of beans and legumes, high intake of very whole grains, of very good quality whole grains, and high intake of fruit and nuts as well as vegetables. And the meat intake is relatively lower, and then very minimal, the dairy and milk intake, and a lot of fish.
Well, Dr. Bongiorno, again, we're going to ask you to hold on, and we're going to invite Liz and Ani back into the studio to show how you can get a copy of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, the complete natural program for healing depression for good. And before they speak, I just want to mention that my show is usually 30 minutes long, and I asked our news coordinator if we could do an hour program today because I was very impressed with this book as a comprehensive approach to depression. I see a lot of health books come across my desk, and I've interviewed other people about depression with very good books. But if you're looking for one book that you know someone who's struggling wants to look at all the options and wants a comprehensive, very thorough and science-based plan for how to address it, then this is a really good place to start. So you can consider calling 1-877-500-5266.
That's right. Thanks, David. This is Liz. And I just wanted to mention I've been thumbing through the book in between our pitch breaks. And you know, I always look at these things with sort of a skeptical eye because there is no cookie-cutter approach to dealing with something as complex as depression. But this book really does seem to address a whole variety of issues. Plus, it's not dogmatic. It doesn't say, don't do this ever. Like, don't ever take medication ever. And I really appreciate that because, you know, different solutions work for different people and different combinations work for different people. And that's kind of what KBOO programming is all about. You know, you're not going to like everything you hear on KBOO. Hopefully you're liking the show because you're listening to it right now. But the whole idea is that there's such a wide variety of options here that you can tune into and tap into and support. And that's what we're here to ask you to do right now. Pick up your phone and go dial 877-500-5266. That's toll free in the lower 48 states. That's 877-500-KBOO. Or if you prefer to reach us online, go to our website at kboo.fm. Click on the donate now pickle jar in the upper right hand corner. Become a member that way. Or hey, here's an idea. You could come into the station and meet us in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th, just off of Burnside, next to the Jupiter Hotel in rockin' inner southeast Portland. We would love to meet our donors. We would love to meet our members. We would love to give you a tour of the station. Now's the time to show your support for the creative, unique programming that you hear only on KBOO and nowhere else on the Portland radio waves. And speaking of that book, How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, you can pick up a copy of this book for just $60 membership. $60. $60 is a lot of money to maybe have in your pocket all at once, but you can also break that down into $5 a month through an electronic funds transfer. It is a safe, secure way to become a sustaining member of our radio community. Our intrepid phone answerers are waiting to take your call and walk you through all the different ways that you can become a member online, on the phone, in person. However you want to do it, it's
just
up
do
to
it.
You. Just do it.
Do it
Ani,
now.
Tell us how else we can do it.
It's you can do it online. You can go to kboo.fm. Maybe you know somebody who lives outside of our FM broadcast area. Well, go ahead and let them know that they can listen online. And truly, KBOO has a global reach now. A lot of the information that we put out there pertains to our own backyard, but has actual reach for the rest of the world. Like David Naiman's show, it's good for anyone, anywhere. And if you are right now valuing this information, please do support it. It is important that you become a part of independent media. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. We are looking to raise $500 this hour. We raised the goal for the last hour, and that's awesome.
That is awesome.
But now we have to keep going, and we are reaching $99,000 by the end of Saturday. We do it with your help, like we just did it with Magnus's help. Hello, Magnus.
Hi, Magnus.
Thank you so much for renewing your membership, Magnus and Camus.
I love saying that. Magnus and Camus.
It has a ring to it.
It does have a ring to it. And, you know, our phones have a ring to them, and we'd like to hear them. 877-500-5266. 5266 or go online, kboo.fm. We'd like to give a shout out to some restaurants who've donated food for our hardworking volunteers today. Thank you to Katie O'Brien's, located at 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, Pasta Works, located at 3735 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, and Namaste, located at 8303 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. They've made their contribution to KBOO by feeding our volunteers during our membership drive. Now it's your turn to make your contribution. Show us that you support this unique programming that you won't hear anywhere else, the unique diversity of news, public affairs, culture, health, music, lifestyle. Everything you can think of is on the air somewhere on the KBOO dial, somewhere in the 24/7
it's
news,
true.
Music, culture, radio
we
cycle.
We are eclectic. Eclecticism is what we do. And speaking of eclecticism, we have a new T-shirt that's specific for this membership drive. It's that shirt. And it does give that message that we are not just for any particular group of people anymore. We are for all of us. The shirt says KBOO, not just for, on the front. And on the back, it lists rather humorously stereotypical visions of KBOO, not just for commie pinko freaks, self-righteous gutter punks, anarcho-syndicalists. I don't know. I'm
drug-addled peaceniks,
so
militant
obviously
vegans.
It doesn't exclude us either, you know. But it is bigger than that. It is bigger than any one group. We are here for the entire community. If you'd like to get a shirt, you can go ahead and ask the phone answer for that as your thank you gift. It can be yours with a $90 contribution to KBOO this morning at 877-500-5266.
We're back with Dr. Peter Bongiorno, the author of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, the Complete Natural Program for Healing Depression for Good. So in your diet section, Dr. Bongiorno, you emphasize the importance of eating nuts, and you recommend eating nuts and seeds raw a cup a day, which is quite a bit. And I'm curious, where does that recommendation come from?
Sure. Well, nuts and seeds just have beautiful essential fatty acids in them and good amounts of protein and very healthy fats in them. So for most people, those are really nice recommendations. I don't recommend doing that at one sitting. And if you haven't really eaten a lot of them, you may want to start with a little less to get going. But they're quite a healthy food, and they just have such great things for our body that really help our brain. You know, it's interesting, in Chinese medicine, they believed in something called the doctrine of signatures, which is if a food sort of looked like a body part, they thought it was good for the body part. And actually, there's a fair amount of research that's showing that in many cases that's kind of becoming true. And one of those is walnuts, you know, which walnuts, if you really look at it, what does it look like? It looks like a brain, you know. And what's been shown is that walnuts have beautiful essential fatty acids and nutrients that are fantastic, not only for the brain, but they're good for the cardiovascular system as well.
That's very interesting. So another dietary thing you talk about is coffee, and there is some research on coffee being a good antidepressant. Do you recommend coffee with your patients, or do you find yourself pausing because of other aspects of coffee?
Sure. Well, you know, what I talk about in my book is that, like everything else, everything's individualized. And when you think about coffee, there's a lot of wonderful studies that show with people with depression that tend towards depression that if they have one or two cups of coffee, it actually can help stave off depression. Having said that, I also want to say that there's a lot of people out there who have a lot of anxiety with their depression and don't sleep well. And if you're one of those people with anxiety and the sleeping issues and insomnia, then I don't recommend coffee, because obviously then the risks of it will outweigh the benefits. You know, if you're not sleeping and you drink coffee, that's not going to help you feel any better, and it's not going to help your mood because you're not going to sleep either. So it really depends on the person.
And likewise, on that same thread of finding out what is the thing or the multiple things for you as an individual that is causing your depression, you do mention some evidence for some people that gluten can actually be an effect on one's mood in a negative way.
Yes. In fact, one of the tests that I recommend people with depression look at is the test of celiac disease, which is an overt inflammatory issue in response to gluten. Because what's been shown is that people with celiac disease have a much higher prevalence of psychiatric issues. And that's because, you know, we didn't talk about this yet, but probably one of the most important things to think about when it comes to mood is thinking about digestion. Because it's been shown that most of the neurotransmitters that the brain uses to stay balanced are actually made in the digestive tract. There's these cells called enterochromaffin cells, which make a good 65 to 70% of the neurotransmitters in the body. Some people even believe it's more. And when there's a lot of inflammation and we're eating foods that create inflammation in our body and that we react to that way, the neurotransmitters really suffer. The amino acids don't get absorbed, so it's hard to make more neurotransmitters.
So what would be some of the warning signs, digestively speaking? Somebody is feeling like they have a low mood. What are some signs digestively that would point to a possible link between their digestion and their mood?
Sure. Well, I notice in a lot of patients' histories that I work with that a lot of people tend to have irritable bowel problems. Either they have like this kind of low-grade diarrhea or constipation or just indigestion or a lot of bloating after they eat. So I do notice that in many, many cases, digestive issues actually precede mood issues.
And are there specific ways that you would assess digestive function that are specific to depression? Are there certain tests that you'd run that are assessing that, or you'd go mostly based on symptoms?
Well, honestly, it's mostly based on symptoms. Sometimes I do look at certain tests, like I said, the celiac panel, which is a blood test. Occasionally, I'll run something called a leaky gut test just to see if the digestive tract isn't really as tight as it should be, and some of the contents might be leaking into the bloodstream around the digestive tract. So so those are two things I look at. But to tell you the truth, a good history usually gets the job done as far as seeing, you know, just finding out how are people pooping, how are their bowel movements. You know, it's interesting because a lot of times people don't like to talk about poop, but by the end of a session, you know, together, they get usually pretty comfortable talking about it.
And certainly as a naturopath, we talk about it all the time. So they can feel more comfortable talking to us, probably.
Oh, I hope so.
So what are there some supplements that that you find yourself putting most people on, either preventatively or as part of a treatment plan, sort of a foundational supplement combination?
Yeah. As far as foundational supplements, you know, if I had to make blanket statements, I think a good multivitamin is very important just to sort of hedge our bets and get some cofactors in there that are for a whole bunch of processes that help the brain work better. A good essential fatty acid or fish oil, I think, is very important. It has a lot of solid research behind it.
How much fish oil would you recommend typically for somebody?
Sure. Well, usually I'll recommend to start with at least 1,000 milligrams of the EPA fraction of a fish oil. So fish oil is the total number of milligrams, and then usually it's broken down into EPA and DHA. EPA stands for eicosapentaenoic acid. And usually I like to get at least 1,000 milligrams of those EPAs.
Which is more than just taking 1,000 milligram soft gel capsule.
Exactly, 1,000 milligrams total. So I'm looking for 1,000 milligrams of just the EPA.
Mm-hmm. And are you a proponent of vitamin D supplementation for people as a mood intervention?
Absolutely. I think vitamin D is vitally important. You know, John Denver sang the song, "Sunshine on My Shoulder Makes Me Happy." I think he was doing some of that vitamin D research when he wrote that song. And because vitamin D has absolutely been linked with positive mood. It's one of the tests I like to run with patients. Just to check their vitamin D levels. And if it's low, then I absolutely highly recommend it.
And is there a target you look to get people to as far as vitamin D is concerned?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, in terms of the lab test, they consider 30 and lower considered insufficient. I like to see it around at least 50, 55.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty robust amount. And is there an amount of vitamin D that would be a typical starting place for somebody? Let's say that they're low normal, their conventional doctor would consider them fine, for instance.
Right. Well, I would say, you know, at least 2,000 IUs a day, you know, with food. Vitamin D absolutely gets absorbed better when there's fat around it. So about 2,000 IUs a day with food. But, you know, that's going to change per person because some people just don't absorb so well, so they can actually take more and their vitamin D levels still don't go up, whereas other people, you know, can take even smaller amounts and it goes up quite quickly. So what I do recommend is whatever dosage somebody's taking, they should have it checked within another 2 months just to see where it is.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some herbal medicinal interventions. I know that St. John's wort is probably the most studied herb globally for depression. And I was curious your thoughts, whether it's a first-line therapy for you or not. And the reason why I ask is it seems like a lot of the really well-designed studies in Europe have shown considerable benefit. But here in the United States, there have been some studies that have shown no benefit that have also been well-designed. How do you sort those studies out from each other and figure out whether that's a good treatment to put forth?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as you said, St. John's wort is the most studied herb of all time. And, you know, it's been used since the time of Hippocrates. And basically, I think there's a lot of strong studies that show its benefit. I think like a lot of other supplements and even medications by themselves, I don't know if St. John's wort will always work. You know, I think if people aren't working on their sleep and their spirit and stressors and lifestyle and food and exercise and all those things that, you know, really get the body centered, it's dubious whether St. John's wort alone will get the job done. But I think it can be a very strong part, especially when people have depression along with anxiety. Because a lot of people don't realize St. John's wort is actually a wonderful anxiety herb. So I like to use it when there's depression with anxiety. And actually, traditionally, St. John's wort was also well used as a digestive herb, which is interesting because, you know, we talked a lot about the role and the correlation between digestive issues and mood. So it kind of seems to fit with that person with digestive issues who also has depression and anxiety.
Which seems like a common combination, as you mentioned earlier.
Right. Absolutely.
So are there other herbs that are that come to mind quickly for you, as St. John's wort being one of the more with the more robust amount of studies behind it? Are there some others?
Right. I mean, lavender is a beautiful herb for both depression and anxiety. Saffron has some good research behind it, and saffron is actually more of a digestive herb as well. So when I see a strong digestive component to a person's, you know, case, then I like to use a little bit of saffron as well. Ginkgo has been shown helpful in certain kinds of situations, especially in senior patients who have mood issues that might be related to more cardiovascular and circulatory issues going to the brain. So, yeah, there are a number of other herbs that are really beautiful.
And do you have concerns yourself using the herbs in concert with the pharmaceutical medications, or are you only using them with people who aren't on serotonin reuptake inhibitors?
Well, depending on the herb, like for instance, there are examples of using ginkgo and lavender with people who are on medication. So there's actually more research out there than we realize, and a lot of people realize, about using certain herbs in combination. The general concern about using some of these more mood-stabilizing herbs and supplements for the medication is that you can create what's called serotonin syndrome, which is when there's too much serotonin around. There's actually, as far as I've looked, and I haven't found any, I've looked very hard, there's no real documented cases of the herbs causing that, even with medication.
So more of a theoretical concern than a practical on-the-ground one. Oh, looks like we've lost Dr. Bongiorno. Maybe we'll invite Ani and Liz back into the studio a little early while we get him back. And I'll mention that this is your chance to support Health Watch. We have a whole bunch of great upcoming guests. Mary Roach, the hilarious science writer, is coming up. Michael Pollan about his new book, Cooked. And Temple Grandin is coming on to talk about her book, The Autistic Brain. So if you appreciate this sort of information on the radio dial, this would be a good time to show your support. You can also get a copy of Dr. Bongiorno's book, How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, by calling 1-877-500-5266 or going online and going to kboo.fm and clicking on the tip jar. I think Ani and Liz may be also here in the studio with us.
Indeed. We in fact are. It's true. And we still have a couple of copies left of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, which you can pick up for a $60 minimum membership. And all you need to do is go to your phone and call us at 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number, 500-KBOO, or go to our website, kboo.fm. Click on the Donate Now jar in the upper right-hand corner of the website. Become a member. Show your support for all of the amazing guests that David Naiman has had on his show and is going to have on his show. And, you know, we know that you care about this kind of programming because you're tuned into it right now. And you tell your friends about it and they tune in and so on and so on. Now's the time to show your support beyond just communicating with people you know. Now's the time to actually support the station with your financial backing. 877-500-5266.
I love David's show because every week he brings you a different look with on your health from a multitude of disciplines. We've heard from naturopaths, we've heard from psychologists, we've heard from acupuncturists, we've heard from herbalists, we've heard from so many types of healers, from so many modalities, and they all have a little piece of the truth. It's like, to me, learning about my body and healthcare is very mosaic, and I kind of apply that to KBOO's public affairs in general, as each program host looks at what they are passionate about and brings forth their own ideas, their own research, and hooks up with amazing authors and speakers and teachers and organizers around the world to really delve deep in so many topics and in so many ways of looking at the world and piecing it together. And that's what KBOO provides for you. I'm a KBOO believer. You know, I am proud to support independent media. I am proud to support KBOO. I've been volunteering at KBOO, a little more than half my life now. I've been producing public affairs here for 20 years, and it's such an important part of my life. It's such an important part of my community work because, it takes all of us sort of holding up our pieces of the truth, reflecting it to each other and feeding back to each other to really do right action and change the world, make this world a better place for us all, a healthier place for us all, dare I say, a happier place for us all. Go ahead and right now contribute to KBOO, your community radio station, and become part of this solution. 1-877-500-5266. We are looking to raise $500 by the top of the hour, and with your help, it is possible. 1-877-500-5266 online at kboo.fm. But the easiest thing for you to do right now, just grab your phone, punch the numbers, and talk to us. Participate, contribute to KBOO, become a member right now. 877-500-5266.
We're back with Dr. Peter Bongiorno, the author of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not. Dr. Bongiorno, do we have you on the line?
I apologize for that.
Oh, we got you. Great. So, yeah. Dr. Bongiorno, we have a caller, and I think we're going to have him come on and ask a question.
Okay, fantastic.
It looks like our engineer is doing something else at the moment, so we'll get the call in a little bit. So, Dr. Bongiorno, one of the things I really appreciate about the book as a practitioner that I also think people would be interested in hearing about who are taking medications is how to wean off of medications if they don't think they need them anymore. We might have some listeners today who are hearing these new options for the first time, and they may want to just go off of their medications tomorrow and try all of these protocols, but that's something you really stress in the book not to do. So tell us why and what people should do instead of going cold turkey.
Yeah, that's a great question. I absolutely don't recommend people just stop taking their medications and trying other things. I think it needs to be done in a concerted effort. Even people who never had any mood issues, if they take an antidepressant and some of these kind of neurotransmitter-changing medications for a couple of months, they find it very, very hard to get off them. And they can cause a lot of mood issues while trying to get off them. So it's something you definitely want to do with your doctor, with someone, you know, who knows them well and is very competent. And what I recommend is, you know, the first thing to do, and this is what I talk about in the book, is to start making all the changes and working on the underlying factors that we've been talking about sleep, about exercise, about working on stressors, about working on your spirit and the messages, you know, we tell ourselves, working with foods and the right vitamins and things like that, and getting the body stronger and a bit more centered. And then when a person feels like, okay, you know, I'm in a different place and different situation, I don't have anything coming up that's really going to throw me that I know about, now's a good time I can talk to my doctor about, you know, slowly weaning off medication. And I really emphasize the word slowly, you know, when they do that with their prescribing doctor, because it's very, very important. Even if people are ready to not need them anymore, going off too quickly, you know, what in conventional medicine they call discontinuation syndrome is really just, it's another word for withdrawal, you know, and it just means that the body's just not ready to kind of take these things over on its own. So it's got to be done exquisitely slowly. And then what I talk about in the book is that depending on the medication and the mechanisms that the medication works on, there are natural remedies which have value in helping the patient do that. And it's so instead of creating kind of a steep slope effect of getting off medication, you're really creating these small steps. So going very, very slow with the weaning, you know, with somebody monitoring you who's going to help you do that, and then using these natural remedies to also support your body from within to help it kind of catch up.
Well, it's interesting. We had Robert Whitaker on, the author of Anatomy of an Epidemic. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but he had some interesting points about with the withdrawal syndrome also, that a lot of people, when they're taking antidepressants, if they try to go off of them and they have symptoms, they assume that means that they need the medication, that their brain isn't going to work without the medication. But in fact, the withdrawal symptoms don't actually indicate a need or a lack of a need. They're just the fact that your brain isn't producing the neurotransmitters in the same way yet as they did prior to the medication.
That's right. And, you know, that's, like I said, even a person who's never had mood issues and takes one of those medications for a few months will have withdrawal effects.
So when you say slow, I notice in the book you're talking sometimes many months or even up to a year of reducing medications as you're replacing other things in.
That's right. It can be that slow. Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Another part of the book that I really liked was your section on women and depression. So you had a woman specific section around depression. Obviously, we know that women suffer depression more than men, but there are also some unique circumstances for women. You had already mentioned iron deficiency as one possible cause of depression, but there are others that people might not think of. For instance, birth control pills can lead to depression in some people.
Yeah, birth control pills are well known. There's a lot of research about how they can really just basically suck a lot of nutrients that are very vital out of the body. And oftentimes that can play a role in why people can get depressed.
And is there a mechanism that we know about it? Is it a specific nutrient that people are getting affected by taking birth control pills?
Sure. Well, the B vitamins are well known to be depleted with them. And then also, I also believe with a lot of the birth control that's out there now, so many of them strive to be low estrogen that for many women, it's just too low. And estrogen plays a strong role in the brain in terms of mood as well. It really affects what goes on in the brain for mood. So sometimes, you know, striving for lower estrogen because there are concerns about things like, you know, certain cancers and things that can be promoted with higher estrogen levels, you might be causing an issue with the mood.
And then I would imagine if you're depressed and you're taking birth control pills, that at a very minimum you could take more B vitamins to help cope with the depletion that you're getting from the medication.
Right, absolutely. I think that's a great first step, just to at least replete some of the things that are generally depleted.
Well, let's take the caller who had a question for you. Welcome to Health Watch. You're on the air with Dr. Peter Bongiorno.
Yes, I wonder if Dr. Vangerno's book also contains an explanation of what happens when UVB rays from the sun, early morning sun, come in contact with the skin, and the process goes to the kidneys to create or to manufacture the body's own vitamin D.
Thank you for the call.
That's a great question, you know, because that's very important what you bring up, the whole idea of sunlight. And I do talk about sunlight in the book, and I do talk a little bit about the conversions. And it's really one of the reasons why, there's two reasons why we need sunlight. One reason is because it really helps promote healthy circadian rhythms, meaning that in the morning, our body is supposed to start making more hormone cortisol, which is one of the adrenal hormones, which kind of come up and help us kind of stay awake and active and help regulate, you know, get blood sugar out when we need it. And when we get good sunlight in the morning, that's very helpful for us to set up the evening, which is when it gets darker and melatonin is supposed to come out, which is the hormone that kind of tells us it's time for sleep. And so that process and that circadian rhythm is very important for good mood. And then, as you suggest, when we get good sunlight and we get some of our body exposed to the sun's rays, it also is very helpful for the conversion of vitamin D that occurs in the skin, and that has effects on the kidneys as well in terms of us having good vitamin D levels.
Thanks for the call. And Dr. Bongiorno, we're going to have you hold on one last time and bring Liz and Ani back into the studio to talk again about how people can get a copy of his book.
It is simple. You just get it by dialing 877-500-5266 and contribute $60 to your community radio station. We would love to say thank you by giving you a copy of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not. We've been listening to the interview this morning between David Naiman and Dr. Peter Bongiorno. It's an important book. It makes a difference, again, in looking at how you feel and trying to suss out how you might feel better. Really, that's what KBOO is about. We are here to give you the information that you can use, analyze it to see how it applies to your own life and how you can feel more empowered and have your life enriched through community and through independent media. That is why we ask for your support right now at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. You can join us with a one-time donation on a credit card. You can set up a monthly electronic funds transfer, or you can have us send you a return envelope and you can send back a check. You can drop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and join us in person. Take a tour of the station. We'll show you how things work down here and you can see exactly how your money is put to use. I say your money because, in fact, 83% of our funding comes directly from you, our listeners, and we need you to step up and be one of those supporting listeners right now. Join KBOO or renew your membership to KBOO today at 877-500-5266
or online kboo.fm. Hey, Ani.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, you were saying, you know, that this is an important book to teach you how to feel better. Well, I have a really great way for everybody listening to me right now to feel better, and that's to become a member of KBOO. Why will you feel better when you do that? Because you know that in this life, we don't get something for nothing. We come to you just a couple of times a year to ask for your support. This is non-commercial radio, and every voice you hear, mine, Ani's, David's, everybody's that you hear, is somebody volunteering their time. We have less than 10 full-time staff, and the rest of us, there are over 500 volunteers that are bringing all of this amazing, unique programming to you. That's an amazing thing. It makes us feel good to do it, and we know that it makes you feel good to listen, or you wouldn't be bothering right now. You have so many other options for listening. There's podcasts and all these other things on your radio dial. But if you want to feel really good, become a member right now. Pick up your phone, dial toll free 1-877-500-5266. For a $60 minimum membership, you can pick up a copy of Dr. Bongiorno's book, How Come They're Happy and I'm Not. If you'd like to give us a little more than that, say a $90 membership, which is our average amount, you can pick up a special limited release edition of that shirt, which you can see pictures of on our website, kboo.fm.
And hey, you know, speaking of our website, every day during our spring membership drive, you could win a print of a historic KBOO poster. It's suitable for framing, and you can see today's poster online when you go to kboo.fm, and then you follow the instructions online. You click that poster, follow those instructions, and submit your entry before 3 p.m. Portland time to actually have a chance to win a brand new print of that poster.
Of a historic poster.
And actually sort of have a little of KBOO's legacy hanging on your wall.
Yes, yeah, speaking of legacy.
While you become a part of KBOO's legacy and help us ensure another 45 years into our future. 877-500-5266 is that number.
That is that number. And, you know, speaking of 45 years, KBOO has been on the air 45 years, and Ani and I are both 45 years old.
I'm 46 now.
Oh, okay. Well,
see, I'm older.
She's older. But, you know, KBOO's been around pretty much as long as we've been alive.
That's true.
For some of you, it's been around not as long as you've been alive. And for some of you, you know, you've just finding out about us right now because you just moved here or you were just born yesterday. But either way, if you've been listening for a long time,
my
you
extremely
just
new friend
us,
Ryer was just born yesterday.
Hey, there you go. So, you know, however it works, you can still feel better, because really that's what it's all about on this show in particular. You want to feel better. You want to get over your depression about the hopelessness in the world, about all of the things that can bring us down. One thing that can bring you up right now is to become a member, support your local community radio station. Remember that 83% of our support comes from individual members just like you, and the rest of our support comes from local businesses who do underwriting. We receive no foundation support, no government support, and no mega corporate support. So that's really an important thing to remember, is that we don't exist without you, and hearing from you makes our day. It makes us feel better, and studies have shown that people who become community radio supporters are more attractive and smell nice too.
It's true.
It's true.
And I think you know, most importantly, as Liz was saying, you can feel better when you become a member of KBOO. I think it's true, because we do feel better when we take positive action in our lives.
Yeah.
And it's an extremely positive action to support this community radio station, which, again, brings you all manner of news, public affairs, information, cultural, community information, keeping us together, keeping us informed of each other's lives, each other's struggles, each other's music, each other's art, and being that hub of a very eclectic community that's well worth your support. Give us a ring, 877-500-5266, and remember to ask for your copy of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not. You're listening to the interview this morning with Dr. David Naiman, and it's time to go ahead, call in your pledge, make yourself a member of community radio, participate fully in independent media, and have us thank you with a copy of this book, all for $60. What a deal.
That's your chance to feel good, to feel better, to feel proactive. Do something good for your community. Do something good for yourself. Call us right now, 1-877-500-5266.
We're back with Dr. Peter Bongiorno. Dr. Bongiorno, in the final minutes of the show, maybe we can talk a little bit about the non-physiological aspects of depression. You mentioned in the book that sometimes depression is the body trying to protect itself and attempt to facilitate change. Can you talk briefly about that?
Yes. Yeah, thank you for talking about that. Obviously, you know, when we talk about depression, we've mentioned all these physiologic issues and physical issues, but you know, the spirit and what goes on in our, what the Chinese call our heart spirit, is really what depression is about. It's about a person who doesn't want to move forward, either has a lack of hope or just doesn't see any benefit in moving forward, really. And you know, one thing that I'd like to say to people out there listening who feel that way is that there are so many ways to help change that and help get people out of that. And I know sometimes it doesn't really seem that way, but I just want them to know that there is, that change is always, always possible. If you're listening to this, there is a way to move in the right direction. And sometimes it just kind of takes sitting down and you know, and working with someone or creating a team of people who can really help put you in that right direction, that you don't have to do it yourself.
Certainly having a practitioner.
When I think about working on the heart spirit, and you know, I do like to tell people that sometimes the depression can be, at some level, you know, the body's way of really just trying to kind of lay low and figure things out, and that if we can use it as a way to help us do that, that it can really turn into a positive.
So in a way, meaning that maybe a change needs to happen, but we don't know what the change is yet or how to do it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and that's because I think sometimes when people have depression, there's so many things swirling around that it just seems like such a just big pot of negativity that it's hard to kind of figure out what's really the underlying issues, you know, among all that stuff that's going on in a person's brain. So I think getting the right help and getting a good team to help sort that out is so crucial.
And having a practitioner who may be open to going there with their patients, not just giving them substances to do, but to take, but also listening, I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and sometimes it's worth working with a few different people until you find the person that really connects with you. And sometimes it's not always because a practitioner isn't good, but sometimes for whatever reason, you just have to find the person that really connects for you, that you can work with, you know, on a longer term basis.
Well, Dr. Bongiorno, thanks for spending the hour with us here on Health Watch. Do you have a website or some place where people can find out more about you?
Yes. My clinic website is www.innersourcehealth.com. That's INNERSOURCE health.com. And my personal website is drpeterbongiorno.com. So drpeterbongiorno. BONGIORNO.com. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all the great work KBOO is doing. It's just so wonderful to have, you know, people out there that are just giving good information and that, you know, are really just doing it to help people. I'm just always astounded and amazed to see such great work like that.
Thanks, Dr. Bongiorno.
Thank you.
We were talking today with Dr. Peter Bongiorno, the author of How Come They're Happy and I'm Not, The Complete Natural Program for Healing Depression for Good. And this is your last chance to get it at 1-877-500-5266. Stay tuned for the rest of the Monday Morning Radio Zine.
Tune in Tuesday night, April 2nd from 8 to 10 p.m. for the Melting Pot Pledge Drive special featuring Thievery Corporation. I'll be blending and refreaking tracks from their full catalog, plus remixes and rarities. That's this Tuesday, April 2nd, the Melting Pot Pledge Drive special featuring the one and only Thievery Corporation.
These are your KBOO Noon News headlines for April 1st, 2013. I'm Jimmy Tardy. Negotiations between Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai and the NATO-led International Security Assistance Force have resulted in a firm commitment by both sides to a final agreement on making an ultimate statement regarding the absolute outcome of those talks. The NATO commander in the region, General Seymour Butts, has announced the creation of a task force to draft the initial framework arrangements. The task force will produce the treaty whereby the future withdrawal of outside military forces in Afghanistan will be mandated. According to General Butts, we are determined to convince the Afghan people, the American people, and the rest of the world that the future of Afghanistan will be decided today and that the nature of this decision is of the utmost importance and must be done without delay. I look forward to creating the necessary agreements for the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan. The task force will be based in eastern Russia and is named ISAF Afghanistan National Treaty Agreement Study Yakutsk. Italian President Mario Monti announced in a strongly worded and emotional speech on Saturday that he will be forming a new cabinet. The new cabinet will be focused on economic issues in Italy. Monti exclaimed, "We must get the stalled Italian economy working again. The time has come to return to exploiting the natural world as mankind has become accustomed to doing. This period that we are now going through, a time in which we have been reconsidering our tenuous place in the universe, and a time in which we have almost come to view our own desires as being of secondary importance to the needs of others, must soon come to an end. Otherwise, our way of life, our way of placing ourselves above the rest of the creatures in the world, will be abandoned. If we don't restore business as usual, the entire framework left over from the Roman Empire will be destroyed completely. This cannot be allowed to happen." A special thank you for the translation of the speech from Italian, provided by Ivan Togoto-Bet. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke called an impromptu press conference on Sunday at his vacation site of Orlando, Florida, where he has been on vacation for the past 3 weeks. Mr. Bernanke sent stocks careening across the globe after he announced, quote, "The American financial system is not broken whatsoever. It is an elaborate con game in which the American people are left so confused by smoke and mirrors that they are unable to fathom the truth hidden in plain sight. The banks have been robbing the American people blind, and I, for one, have decided it is my patriotic duty to expose this massive fraud. A full report will be sent to all of the major news outfits in the country on Monday morning. Until then, I will be riding the tilt-a-whirl with my daughter. So long, suckers!" With that, Mr. Bernanke stripped his lapel mic from his shirt, leapt atop the table at which he was seated, and howled wolf-like until he was tackled by security guards and taken to an undisclosed location. For your KBOO Noon News headlines, I'm Jimmy Tardy. April Fools.
And you are tuned to KBOO in Portland, 90.7 FM. It's 12 o'clock and time now for the noontime jamboree.
Feel the breeze.